wellnesscouch.com, streaming wellness into your lives.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to today's episode of Karen's Couch. Now, I've got somebody really cool joining me on the couch today. We're going to be talking about an entrepreneurialism. Now, for most of you who listen to the show, you know that obviously I'm in business, and a lot of the people who listen to the show are in business. So I think it's pretty important that we start to explore different paths, different directions, different ways into entrepreneurialism, and really distinguishing, you know, what an entrepreneur is and how they build their wealth, but also how they build their own personal experience in life. Because I know for myself, and this is what's led me to today's guest, for myself, I've been a workaholic, and you know, I don't have kids, don't have anything else that demands my time. So I really can just throw myself into work almost 24/7. But I can and I do, because what I do is my passion. So I'm constantly reinventing myself and coming up with new ideas. But for a lot of people who enter into the entrepreneurial world and the world of business, they come into business for different reasons and have different experiences, and some of them great and some of them not so great. And that led me to Jack, and I actually discovered today's guest, Jack DeLosa. I discovered Jack probably about 2 years ago when I was just surfing around the internet, and I came across this, I'll call it a mob, called the Entourage. And I looked at it and I went, you know what? That's what people need. They need this understanding of how to be in business and what to do in business. So I started to do some research on this fellow by the name of Jack DeLosa. And what I found was that this guy, it's like he's fallen to the earth from another planet. I'm just going to put that out there. I don't know who he is. It's almost like he's a freak of nature. He's gone and created some amazing success and some extraordinary experiences at such a young age. Now, Jack has, he's been an entrepreneur, and he's been recently described as the youngest Aussie millionaire that didn't finish uni. And that is so encouraging, because so many people who go into business don't necessarily have a degree behind them. Yet that very fact of not having a degree can be the number one thing that holds people back, thinking, I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough, I'll never make it. But not for Jack. He went ahead and created two multi-million dollar businesses, one called MBE Education and the other is the Entourage, which is really the one that, you know, led me to Jack. And I think that with Jack's intentions and what he's doing, which I'm going to get to and let him tell you all about, I think he's an incredible inspiration and one of those people who is the giants of society that we can stand on his shoulders so that we can see just as far as he does. So welcome, Jack. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us here on Karen's Couch.
Thank you very much, Karen. That was quite an exceptional introduction. It's really good to be here.
Oh, it's a treat. It's a treat to have you here.
Thank you.
It's a real honor, because, you know, you're one of certainly Australia's real people. Everything about you is very real. It's very down to earth. You're very accessible. You're very relatable. And I think that that's what is probably most appealing, because people look at you and think, wow, if he can do that, then maybe there's a chance for me.
Yeah, totally. You know, I was asked recently, you know, we've now got a community of about 60,000 people around the world, and, you know, we're doing a bunch of really cool stuff. And someone said to me in an interview, in fact, you know, how do you sort of continue delivering the right message and continue being yourself and all of that, even with so many people watching? And my answer was to remember to always come from heart. You know, I think that as entrepreneurs, the right that we have afforded ourselves is to live our life unapologetically how we want to set it up and who we are and what we enjoy doing, and to always be that and always do that and do it with the utmost compassion and respect and love and impact for the world, while making sure that we enjoy the journey. So, you know, I'm glad to hear you say down to earth and that sort of stuff, because for me, everything I do, particularly today, and this has been a principle that's only increased over my first 10 years in business, which is continue to just always come from heart. I believe it's when you can tap into that that you do your most powerful work.
And I think that the way that you just coined that is profound, because being an entrepreneur really does it is supposed to be a holistic experience where you're making a massive difference to the world while you're making the kind of income that you want to make, but it's also got to be a personal experience. You know, you're not just a skin bag of skills and this machine churning out sales and marketing material or churning out products. It's actually got to be an experience that creates a life you really actually want to live rather than a life you want to escape from. And I think a lot of people who are...
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think that's really true, particularly for this generation of business owners, you know, and I don't mean that to be age specific, but in terms of a generation of business owners.
Yeah.
You know, I think previous generations of business owners wanted to be the next Warren Buffett, you know, they wanted to be the next billionaire. Whereas if you look at a lot of early stage or growth stage businesses around Australia today, it's the entrepreneur isn't so much concerned with being the next billionaire, but rather what I find two things. Firstly, contribution to the world. And that might be contribution to family, it might be contribution to community, it might be contribution to the country, it might be contribution to the globe in its entirety. But, you know, a lot of business owners today are coming from a very social aspect of what can I give back? What can I contribute? How can I leave a legacy? And the second thing is lifestyle. You know, how do I enjoy the ride? I want to be the best version of myself. I want to realize the truest visions I have for my own life. And I want to enjoy the ride. I don't want to, if becoming a billionaire means having 3 divorces and 2 heart attacks, then count me out. I'd rather enjoy the ride and do something great, you know. So I think there's been a shift in personal drivers on the part of entrepreneurs these days, which I think is really refreshing to see in the business world.
Oh, you know, I was doing some studies not so long ago on the Industrial Revolution. And I could see so clearly that back in, you know, the 1800s when the big factories were created and they were desperate for workers, it was the same time that the self-help industry was born, where it was kind of orchestrated very much so that people would feel that if they went to work, they worked hard, they earned money, then they would generate a status that would then have them feel like they were someone or valued in the community. So
yeah,
the harder people worked, that was meant to equate to more money. But of course, the system was never set up that way. It was only an illusion, if you like, to make sure that people came to work, they'd work their 9 to 5, and then they did their overtime and they did extra hours in order to get those promotions, to get the extra money. But of course, you know, living expenses increase and, you know, everything you make, you spend. And it's and generationally, I can see the fallout from that, and I can see even with my nephews who are, you know, obviously not, well, one of my nephews is 20, but I can certainly see a shift.
You need to send them to the Entourage.
I'm absolutely going to make no mistake about it, because both of my nephews are incredibly entrepreneurial, and they've got there's an amazing softness to them. They just Their reason for being is pure love. And I don't mean that because I'm biased. I just see it, there's a contrast in the nature of the different ways of being. So that whole big industrial revolution.
And that's a really good way to describe it. Yeah, that's a really good way to describe it. You know, they're sort of full of love. In that the values have shifted. Business used to be about being tough and being strong, and it was a very masculine energy around it. It was a very greed is good, more is better kind of philosophy that everybody had to business. And that's really shifted a significant amount, you know, even in just the last 5 years, to people going, you know, what are my personal values? Who do I want to be? What effect do I want to have on the people around me and my relationships and my community at large? And then operating from that paradigm, it's a completely different field, which I think is great.
Oh, and it is. And to do business with people that do come from heart,
yeah,
it's a completely different experience, you know.
It's
almost magical. And I think that there was this big movement that, you know, because I think, what was it, in the States, 84% of new businesses that have opened in the last 2 years have been opened by women. So there was this big kick to say to everybody, you know, stop operating in such a masculine form and start to understand that the woman requires something different. She's making the buying decisions. She needs something different. So I think at that point, that realization was still in and of itself, I guess, a bit of a manipulation. Whereas now what I'm starting to see and experience with people is that actually we're not coming from our hearts in order to manipulate the marketplace in order to make more money. We're just coming from our hearts in order to create an extraordinary experience.
That's
right. And the money will naturally be there because there is no intention around manipulation, if that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. I completely agree. And I think women, a lot of the time, are more effective in business than our men, for all of the reasons we've just outlined. You know, the creativity and the lateral thinking and the emotional understanding and the empathy, and you know, there's all of these really awesome, you know, colorful dynamics that women bring to business. And you're right. Maybe that's played a part in the shift of the dynamic of the business world as a whole. You know, with the Entourage, one of the proudest things that we've done is within our community, more than 50% of our members are female. You know, within our program, about 50% of our member sort of students are female. So, you know, my core advisors are female. You know, because there is that emotional intelligence that is so desperately needed in business today.
So tell me about the Entourage. Fill me in and fill our listeners in. What exactly is it?
We're a business school. So we help early stage entrepreneurs to build successful businesses, whether they want to, you know, make more money, have more time, build out their business so that it works without them and they can spend more time doing the things they love, or whether they want to build a substantial business, you know, and still be at the helm themselves. Whatever it is, the outcomes, if you're a technician and really good at what you do, whether it's selling candles or selling cupcakes or a PR consultant or a concreter, whatever it might be, if you're really good at what you do, we come in with the business skills and the business practices around that to help you turn that into a really successful business that can run without you so that you can leave a legacy. And yeah, so we're Australia's largest, you know, educator of entrepreneurs in that sense. And the success stories that we're able to produce over the last 4 years have been phenomenal.
Why did you create the Entourage? Why did you? What gap was there that you noticed?
Well, it was two things. I was told when I was quite young that my success in life would come from one of two things: desperation or inspiration.
Oh, wow!
Yeah, and I loved hearing that because I had a lot of both.
Yeah.
In the case of the Entourage, the desperation was around the serious lack of good quality education around to help business owners build a really successful business. And the second in the inspiration was that I believed I could make a difference because, you know, with my previous company, first and foremost, I had a couple of companies when I was a lot younger that did absolutely terribly and taught me, you know, a lot of lessons.
Yeah.
And then I had a company called MBE Education, which, you know, saw me sort of doing $1 million revenue when I was 22 and building out a team and making a good impact to how small business owners raise money from investors in Australia.
Jack, can I just stop you there? That is insane that a 22-year-old is able to generate $1 million in income from a business that they've put together. I mean, how does that – this is why I say you've come from another planet. How does that happen? How did you do that?
I think, you know, a lot of my business success is attributable to leaving my ego at the door. I deliberately surround myself with people who are smarter than me. So in the case of MBE, I started it with a guy called Ruben Buchanan, who was pretty much twice my age and had a wealth of experience. And we started the business together with me as the general manager and the business driver. And in doing that, I surrounded myself with a whole bunch of other advisors. And so what I brought was the passion, the energy, the determination, you know, I was going to make it happen, come rain, hail or shine. And you combine that with some really good expertise around how to build a successful business. And, you know, you ultimately build a successful business.
Awesome.
Similar concept to what I now try and do with the Entourage. You know, it's just about surrounding the right people with the right people. And when you do that, the success that it creates is quite phenomenal.
So Oh, gosh, I just, you know, I've got like 300 questions just coursing through my brain here.
Let's do them all.
So what you learned from that experience with MBE, what did you take into, or what inspired you to create the Entourage then?
It was really when I kept getting feedback from other entrepreneurs, mainly in my age bracket at the time. So at the time it was younger entrepreneurs saying, you know, they'd spent 3 or 5 years at university to learn about business and law or business and accounting and come out and gone into the workforce to realize that they had learned very little. Mm. So it was really out of frustration for the way traditional education develops people or doesn't develop people. Yeah. And the way the traditional education system develops business people or doesn't develop business people. So it was born out of frustration. You know, my view is that the best businesses are founded in protest against the industry they operate within. If you look at someone like Apple or if you look at someone like Virgin, they are literally founded. It is in their DNA to protest against the industry that they operate in. And the industry that I operate in is education, and it's a really easy one to protest against. Because yeah. The consumers have been so unhappy for the last decade. So, you know, I wanted to do something about that.
And so the Entourage, being a business school, is it like a 12-month program? Is it a...
Yeah, so we've got a 3-year program called Scalable and Saleable.
Right. And
it takes entrepreneurs through an amazing journey of personal development and professional development and all of the different business nuances and personal nuances we need to know in order to be the best version of ourselves, in order to be the best leader we can be, in order to be the best manager we can be, in order to have resources and people and media follow us, and to ultimately go on and build a significantly sized business. You know, that's something that we've become very strong at ingraining in entrepreneurs who have the right attitude.
And so do people that go through the Entourage, they're not necessarily already an entrepreneur. They're somebody who's wanting to build a business that way?
Yeah, that's right. About 80% of our audience are existing business owners doing anywhere from, you know, 100 grand revenue to $20 million revenue. You know, there's a complete sort of breadth of sizes and stages. And we put you into the appropriate group depending on where you're at.
Yeah.
And about 20% of our audience are yet to start. You know, I've got an idea. I really want to have a crack at it. I'm not just thinking about it. I am actually going to do something about it. I just want your help in determining, you know, how do I identify what's a good idea and what's not? How do I go to market? What's my fastest path to profit? All of those questions that we don't usually have answers to when we start out is what the other 20% come to us for.
And it's interesting that you say that when – you know, the kids come out of school, they go to university and they've done their accounting degree or business degree, and they come out and they realise that what they've learned is very theoretical. It doesn't actually, it's not necessarily practical in a real life implementation. And I have to be honest that when I came out of school and I went and I studied accounting, and when I actually started working in accounting, it was worlds apart. There was, you know, there was a general... You know, there was the theme and the gist of accounting practice was obviously there, but in terms of what happens in real life and real time, was nothing like what I'd learned through my studies.
Yeah, and a really good litmus test for that is, I believe, to ask somebody, what did this unit or what did this, you know, particular module teach you? Because in my experience, when I asked, you know, the people that were coming to me with that feedback around, oh, it's all a bit theoretical and I don't really know what I learned. They say, oh, I studied accounting 101. I go, what did you learn in accounting 101? And they can't accurately summarize what they learned. Whereas if you spoke to somebody that has gone through effective education and you say, you know, what did you learn in this half-day session? They should be able to say, well, they taught us how to set up a Facebook campaign which targets our exact consumer, how to convert those ads and those campaigns into customers and then retain the customers. That's what I learned in that half day. You know, it's not until a student can accurately articulate what it is they've learned that you can actually deem that they've learned anything.
Good point. Very good point. So in Australia, you're the largest business school.
Now, the largest educator of entrepreneurs, yeah.
The largest educator. And you've been going for 4 years, did you say?
Yeah, we're actually in April, it'll be 5. So,
well, congratulations.
We're coming up to our 5th birthday, yeah.
Oh, how exciting.
It is very exciting.
And you've also written a book, haven't you? Because I can see you standing on the front cover.
Yes.
Yes. What's that book called? So just so I can make sure that our listeners can get access to it.
Yeah, absolutely. So the book's called Unprofessional. And it's about what we started this conversation with, in that I believe we've got a business world, and some people in the business world are still obsessed with being professional and saying the right things and wearing the right suit and blah, blah, blah. Mm. And I think that the brands and the people that are truly successful in making a difference and making an impact in 2015 and beyond are those that are fundamentally real. So first and foremost, unprofessional is a call to action to drop the mask, drop the professionalism, drop the BS, be yourself completely and unapologetically. And secondly, is an invitation to throw out the old rule book as to how we used to build businesses perhaps 10 or 15 years ago, and give some instruction in terms of what I believe the principles are today and beyond, in terms of how we can build successful businesses today using next to no money coming from a position of a startup business.
Mm. I think that that's one of the greatest lessons that I learned from my sister, and I've been very blessed. Most of my all of my family have been very much entrepreneurial. I was probably the only one who went in and got a job first before I went out to get my own business. But I remember my sister saying to me very early on, she said, never spend a dollar of your money on a business until you know that the business can actually pay that dollar back to you.
Mm.
Because I, you know, at the time, I remember thinking, oh, I'm going to get a loan for $55,000 and I'm just going to see where it goes, and I'll just have some money there to look after myself if I need it. And she said, no, you've lost the point there. She said, you've got to be able to start your business up on a shoestring so that then your business starts to become a profitable vehicle that you know will sustain itself, so that then you're not constantly throwing money at it in order for it to survive.
That's right.
Jeez, that was good advice.
Yeah, it's what the new research, when I say new research, I mean the new and effective research, is calling, what's it called? It's called the effective loss principle. And it basically outlines that the common paradigm with which society views entrepreneurs is actually fundamentally incorrect. And that is that we often think entrepreneurs are the visionaries that say, this is my vision, this is where I'm going, and they garner the resources and they garner the people and move gallantly towards their vision without any roadblocks and without any hurdles along the way. That's the Hollywood version, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's the affordable loss principle. What this research has actually determined, and the lady that conducted this research, it's called Effectuation. She's gone out and she's interviewed the world's best entrepreneurs, people like Richard Branson. And it's not a 5-question survey they've done over WooFoo. She sat down with these people for hours and hours and hours and come up with scientific, proven research, academic standard results. And what she's determined is that what entrepreneurs do is they go, there might be a bit of an opportunity here. Who do I know, or what resources do I have, or what skills do I have in my immediate sphere to move one step toward that? Who can I engage to determine whether this is a good idea? And how much am I willing to lose? They very rarely look at, okay, I'm going to go in and I'm going to try and make $1 billion or whatever it might be. But it's rather, how much am I prepared to lose? And the great thing is, with entrepreneurship today, you can go out and start and test a business for, under $10,000 if you do it right.
Yeah.
And iterate and move and shake the business model until you find something that's profitable. And then you can start to invest a little bit more to see it scale and grow. Mm. Which minimizes the risk of going into business for yourself.
Yeah, I think that's amazing advice. Amazing advice.
Mm.
Because it, as you say, it does, it mitigates the risk. Sounds like wherever you are right now in Byron Bay, sounds like it must be the most fun place.
Would you believe I'm standing on the beach next to a playground where a bunch of kids are playing? Which is probably the fun that you're hearing.
It is. It sounds like it's the most fun place in the whole wide world right now.
I don't want to take the fun away from you, but I'll move it slightly away.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. I just noticed it. And I went, oh, it sounds like fun.
We are having fun.
So, Jack, what's life like for you, having been this initiator and this generator of these amazing businesses, obviously, but also the ability to impart what you know and change the lives of so many people. What's it like for you? What's the journey like?
Yeah, well, I think as entrepreneurs, and it's certainly true for me, you know, we live a life where we're constantly challenging ourselves, right? The minute we achieve one thing, well, sorry, before we achieve the first thing, we're already on to the next thing.
True that.
So my life in terms of my lifestyle these days is fantastic. You know, I get to spend a lot of time with my amazing fiance, Lisa Messenger. I get to, you know, I've set up my businesses in a way that don't require me on an operational basis, so I can work on high value, you know, activities like international expansion or going through an accreditation process or whatever, you know, making acquisitions, whatever it might be.
Being on Karen's couch.
Being on Karen's couch next to a playground environment, you know, these sorts
fabulous.
Of things.
Fabulous. You know,
And as I said earlier, you know, as an entrepreneur, if you haven't set up your life exactly the way you want it, then you're robbing yourself of the very opportunity that you've afforded yourself. So I think it's really important that every entrepreneur does that. But when you say, you know, how is your life? It's one massive learning experience that just gets larger and larger. So I think as my business has got bigger and my career's grown, the challenges become larger, the successes become larger, the lessons become bigger. And that's what we thrive on. We thrive on personal growth. We thrive on the journey, and we thrive on the challenge and the success of it all. So it really is a challenging quest to make as big a contribution as I possibly can while I'm here.
One question that plagues me with a lot of people that have achieved a lot of enormous success is that for a lot of others who are on the way to that, life throws some challenges or life throws some curveballs, and they do the best.
Totally.
They do the best that they can with what they know.
Yes.
To get to the other side of the challenge. But oftentimes people don't actually become more because of the challenge. They then just wait for another challenge and hope that they can overcome it and hope they've got the resources. And it's a bit of a deep question, I know, kind of a little bit down the rabbit hole. But do you think that you're one of those people who uses your challenges to become more so that then your challenges have actually served a purpose as opposed to just being another challenge?
Yeah, I think there's I might address a question that you didn't ask, but a really important point that you raised around challenges, particularly in the early days. So I've been in business for 10 years now, and I say that the first 6 years, I liken it to walking through hell and back. You know, it's not easy. You're going against the grain. You're doing something completely different. You're probably not making the money that you thought you were going to. You're probably working far harder than you ever imagined or ever thought you could. You're probably being faced with comments and challenges by the very people you love the most who are saying, in a roundabout, however indirect or direct way it might be, you're an idiot, what are you doing, go back, get a job or go to university or whatever it might be. And so there's this whole thing around self-worth and am I good enough and am I up for this, and not only is this feeling in this place that I'm in completely overwhelming, but most of the people that are around me are telling me I'm an idiot and I shouldn't be doing it. So that's often the initiation to the business world.
And it is, and it's an uphill battle to start a business, much less to start a business in spite of yourself and in spite of others.
Exactly. And it's really important to realize, you know, why people often ask me, Jack, how did you get through those 6 years? Like, how did you persevere? 6 years is a long time. And my answer is, well, I'd studied entrepreneurs. I'd studied the giants that came before me, and I realized that that period was an inevitable stepping stone towards success so long as I learned from the lessons that were being presented. So that brings me to the second element of your question, which is you have to view every challenge as a learning opportunity. I live by a paradigm, and that paradigm is everything's my responsibility, nothing's my fault. So if a marketing campaign doesn't work, you know, I go, what did I do or not do to cause that to not work? If a staff member leaves, I don't sit down and think, you know, terrible things about them and go about talking about them behind their back or anything like that. And I sit down and go, what could I have done better? You know, and I'm going back to the early years now. Our staff retention these days is absolutely world class. But back in the early days, I'd sit down and I'd think, what could I have done better? What did I not do for that person to make sure they were more engaged? What did I do for that person to make sure they weren't as engaged as they could be? And I looked at everything in terms of me taking full responsibility, because it's only when I take responsibility for everything that happens within and around me that I can influence it. And secondly, get the lessons from that and change next time. If we don't do that, then we're probably just going to get the same challenges over and over and over again, and we kind of get stuck. But, you know, take responsibility, view challenges as a learning opportunity, and realize that everybody has them, challenges. You're always going to have them. In fact, they're only going to get bigger. But, you know, we learn to love them and we learn to enjoy the journey around it, because we recognize that it's all perfect anyway.
Oh, I love that. Everything is purposeful and everything is playing its part in the experience of being an entrepreneur. And I think that's a really powerful statement that you've made there, because it's part of the ride, you know, and it's part of the entrepreneurial ride that we really want to be enjoying. Whereas if we see our challenges as a slap in the belly with a wet fish, as opposed to seeing as our challenges as an opportunity to become more or learn more or discover more, then we... you know, we can potentially find ourselves just, you know, obviously getting stuck.
Yeah, and I would encourage everybody listening to this audio to develop a conspiracy theory. And that conspiracy theory is that everything that happens in the universe is the universe conspiring to make you more successful.
For sure.
And if you can view the world in that way, whether it be a challenge, whether it be, you know, some adverse events in your personal life, whatever it is, it's all happening to make you the best version of yourself and to help you realize the truest vision you hold for your life.
How beautiful. Well, I think that that's a beautiful spot to end the show, or to round it up. This has been a fantastic conversation. I feel like we've only just started it, though.
We can do it again sometime.
We must, because I'm really keen to talk to you about what the future is going to hold and what, you know, what it's going to look like and what we can expect and what's coming, because no doubt you're at the forefront and the cutting edge and reinventing yourself and your offering constantly. So I'd be keen to get you back on the show if you'd be willing.
I would absolutely love that.
Oh, ripper. Okay, fantastic. You might be sorry that you said that, but I'm going to hold you to it because we've got it on recording.
We could do a regular segment.
Yeah, baby. I love it. Oh, that's great. Okay, good. Well, let's look at doing that. I think that could actually add a lot of value to our listeners. So let's look into that.
We'll rock it out.
Sounds good. All right. Well, Jack, thanks so much for talking to us today. And I'm just in so much envy and awe of where you are right now, because it sounds fabulous. And Byron Bay is probably one of the most beautiful places in the world. So if all the places to be having your business and your entrepreneurial journey pay back to you, I think that being in Byron Bay is a wonderful way for it to do that.
It's amazing. It is a gorgeous place. And yeah, just want to say thank you to you, Karen, for having me on. It sounds like, I've seen everything that you're doing, and it's I know firsthand that it's making a great impact on so many lives. So it's been a real pleasure to join you.
Oh, thank you so much. That's wonderful to hear that. I really appreciate it. We do, you know, the intention of the show is certainly to move and shift the reality of millions, and it's really awesome to know that, you know, that's kind of getting some cut through. So thank you.
Yeah, not a problem at all. Good chatting to you.
Thanks so much, Jack. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks, Karen. Speak to you soon.
Bye. Ciao. So thank you to Jack for joining us on the show, and hopefully you guys have absolutely loved this conversation. Doesn't he just feel like he's the guy next door that you could just sit down and have a real easy conversation with, but walk away with some pearls of wisdom and some absolute gems when it comes to creating a lifestyle for yourself and then also creating a business that can generate that lifestyle? You know, I know so many of you guys have been flirting with starting your own business, and this may very well be a way in to follow somebody like Jack, who's just like the rest of us, but created something amazing for himself. I'm totally and utterly committed to having him on the show as a regular, so get ready to see him with us more often. I've absolutely loved today's show, and I'm more than that, I've absolutely loved sharing today's show with you. So thanks so much for tuning in. And make sure that next time you go to iTunes, make sure that you give us a 5-star rating and tell everybody that you know to tune in, and let's start getting Karen's Couch up there in the rankings. We really want to start to spread the word and get everybody talking about it. I want Karen's Couch to become a household name. Yeah, baby. You can also post your comments at allthews.facebook.com/Karen's Couch and let us know any questions that you've got for Jack, or better still, any topics that you'd like to hear me talk to Jack with Jack about. I think that would be really valuable. Fill me in on what you want to know. It can be anything and nothing is off limits. You can also post your comments and your questions at allthews.karenscouch.com. Now, we're going to have all the links that you can access Jack and his website and his Facebook page and also the Entourage underneath this show. So make sure you click on them and check him out. So thanks again for joining us here on Karen's Couch this week, where we bring the truth to your unanswered questions. And I'm going to see you here same time, same station next week. Bye for now.
This has been a production of TheWellnessCouch.com. Check us out on Facebook and join in the conversation on Facebook.com/TheWellnessCouch. Subscribe to each show on iTunes and check us out on Twitter. The Wellness Couch, streaming wellness into your lives. Whilst the Wellness Couch presenter endeavor to provide accurate and helpful information to their listeners, these podcasts cannot take into account individual circumstances and are not intended to be a substitute for health and medical advice from a qualified health professional. You should always seek the advice of a qualified health professional before acting on any of the information provided by any of the Wellness Couch podcasts.